Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the TR90 Body Burn 30 support call. This call happens Monday through Friday at this time, which for me is 6:40 Pacific Time, 7:40 Mountain Time, 8:40 Central Time, and 9:40 Eastern Time. Thrilled to have you along with us. If you ever miss these calls, you can pick them up on an application called SoundCloud by putting in Frank, F-R-A-N-K, Lomas, L-O-M-A-S, and TR90 or Frank Lomas and Solutions, the digit for anti-aging, all pushed together as one word. And Frank says he's been seeing these pop up in other podcast services besides SoundCloud, but SoundCloud is where we have our archive that goes back 13 plus years. Lots of wonderful information if you get a chance to go back and listen to any of the old episodes. With that being said, I'm Susan Mann out of Portland, Oregon, welcoming you to the call. And if you're listening to this and it's a podcast and you wish to catch us live, dial in to 712-775-8972. And when it prompts for that conference code, put in 910022 to join us live, and we would be delighted to have you join us. As I said, I'm Susan Mann out of Portland, Oregon, welcoming you to the call. I come to you with an education background, but a huge interest in health, nutrition, and exercise going back more than four decades. I had grandparents that were not in the best of health, even though they exercised a lot and they had fresh food. They didn't necessarily eat some of the right food, and so some of their health challenges I've tried to avoid over the years because I didn't want to be taking insulin shots or I didn't want to have heart attacks. So I've been doing many things over the years to mitigate that. And with that being said, that when you're first starting out with the TR90 lifestyle, because it is a lifestyle change, when you're first starting out, it's one lean meal a day, two shakes a day, three snacks a day, 30 grams of protein at least three of those meals, taking your supplements 15 to 20 minutes before a meal is best. If you're not able to do that, do take them with your meals. I would say about 40% of the time I had to take them with my meals because I didn't know when my meal was actually going to happen and I couldn't predict when it was going to happen 15 to 20 minutes ahead of time. Let's see. So taking those supplements, getting plenty of fruits and vegetables, 7-plus servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. And the closer you can get them to the source, the better off you are because that will give you your macronutrients, which are your proteins, your carbs, your sugars, your fats, your micronutrients, which are your vitamins and your minerals, and fiber. And fiber helps in two ways. First is with satiety, or that feeling of fullness. The second way that fiber helps is for good digestive health. Overall, guys need about 45 grams of fiber daily for that. Ladies, we need about 32 grams of fiber for those same purposes. So do keep that in mind. If you're getting all that fiber, then you're going to want to get up and get moving. And exercise is the next thing that's on our list. It's 30 minutes of moderate to heavy exercise at least 5 days a week, and it can be whatever exercise you desire it to be, as long as it's moderately to heavy. You can it can be house cleaning, running up and down stairs, walking, ballroom dancing, swimming. It can be a 30-minute chunk, two 15-minute chunks, or three 10-minute chunks, whatever fits your lifestyle. But it's important to get that in at least 5 days a week, and we'll be talking about exercise here in just a short while. If you're getting all that exercise, then you need to be thinking about hydration, because if you're working out heavily, you can lose up to a quart of body moisture in an hour, and you'll want to replace that. And the baseline for starting out for hydration is 1 ounce of water for every 2 pounds you weigh. So if you weigh, for instance, 100 pounds, you start out drinking 50 ounces of water daily, and you increase it from there depending on what your activity level is, what the weather's like, so that you're offsetting what you're losing in body moisture. And if you're getting all that exercise and water, well, the next thing that you need to think about is sleep. It's the one thing that I have found in over the last 15 or so years that sleep is really critical for making good decisions, clearing out toxins, doing a series of body system resets while you are sleeping. So 7 to 9 hours, whatever is best for you. If you're operating on less than that, realize that your brain isn't functioning at its best. Your body clears out toxins. It stores memories, both muscle memories and brain memories. It repairs muscles and tissues. It just does a wealth of things. And so with that, today I'm going to be jumping in to an article that was in the special Time edition of The Science of Exercise, which came out, actually is out now. It says that it's supposed to be on display through March of 29th of this year. And The Incredible Medicine of Movement. People have more power than they think to shape their own health destiny. The secret is moving every single day. This is an article by Jordan B. Metzl, M-E-T-Z-L, M-D. For reasons big and small, exercise is a miracle drug. I'm such a believer that it's keys to health, wellness, and longevity that I prescribe it to every patient I see and take it often. You'll live longer, healthier life. Your medical costs will be lower. You'll sleep better at night. Your work days will be more productive. Your mood will improve. Your risk of developing almost any chronic disease will drop. It works for just about anyone who takes it, young, old, and if done correctly, it has few or no negative side effects. Every dose is 100% effective, even the small ones. It's the most powerful, readily available drug in the world, and it is free. As a sports medicine physician at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York, as well as an athlete and fitness instructor, I know how far the field of medicine is from embracing this prescription. Healthcare in the United States is in practice more like sick care. We spend much more money treating an increasingly unhealthy population years down the line after disease has set in, instead of investing in preventative ways to avoid it in the first place. But over the past 60 years, scientific research has provided irrefutable evidence that medical value of exercise. In fact, I've witnessed the accumulation of that research. 8 years ago, I was involved in starting a seminar prescribing the medicine of movement for the second year medical students at Cornell Medical School. The goal of the seminar, one of the first of its kind in medical school curricula, was to assemble scientific evidence backing the medicine of movement, the ways that exercise goes beyond something that's good for you into the realm of an actual medicine that affects both lifespan, lived years, and health span, health during those lived years. Since we started that seminar, the data in support of exercise as a means to affect all aspects of health, from physical to psychological to preventative, has become far more robust, largely because of two notable developments. First, advances in technology from smartphones to smartwatches to smart rings have enabled us to chronicle our movement patterns easily. How much or how little we move, the frequency of daily, weekly, and monthly exercise habits, and how much we sleep. This information is much more accessible as wearables have become more available, and in turn, the ability to synthesize this information and correlate it to the health outcomes has given researchers a clearer understanding of the effects of movement patterns on health. And then COVID-19, the pandemic, further highlighted the role of exercise in preventative health. A large population-based study of more than 48,000 patients from the Kaiser Permanente Health System assessed the effects of movement patterns in two in the 2 years leading up to COVID-19. Diagnosis with the disease outcome in patients who contracted the virus. This data was collected before the vaccine was available. The conclusion, daily movement patterns in the 2 years prior to contracting COVID-19 resulted in lower rates of severe illness, hospitalization, and death. Even in diseases such as COVID-19, daily movement seems to provide a preventative role. And now that we have this robust new data to support in the support of exercise, well, for the country to reduce healthcare costs, enhance well-being, the worlds of fitness and medicine must come closer together and put this precious medicine, excuse me, to good use. Wow, I did not expect that tickle. It's the armor for the body. The powerful medicine of exercise does more than just make you feel better after a jog or a spin class. It works across the entire body to help shield it from disease. Modern medicine got a taste of this potential in 1953 when a study published in the scientific journal The Lancet showed that British postmen tended to die less often from heart attacks and heart failure than people such as mail sorters who had more sedentary jobs. Early studies like these established the link between activity and disease prevention and inspired further research. We now have proof that several diseases respond strongly to exercise. Study of age-matched skeletons exhumed from before the Industrial Revolution when people walked and moved more show less knee arthritis than the knees of today. Active people have lower blood pressure, strokes, stroke rates, and heart attack risk than those who did not exercise regularly, suggesting that exercise is powerful against heart disease, the number one killer in the U.S. It even affects a person's risk for cancer. And a 2016 study of more than 1.4 million people showed that regular exercise decreases the risk for 13 types of cancer, including breast, ovarian, and colon cancer. Type 2 diabetes, which costs hundreds of billions of dollars each year and affects more than 37 million Americans, is both preventable and treatable with regular exercise. The known benefits of exercise even apply to the brain. Numerous studies have shown lower rates of anxiety, depression, and memory loss among regular exercisers compared with people who don't move around much. Exercise is currently the most effective known way to prevent the much feared conditions of dementia and Alzheimer's disease and to slow their progression. Everyone can exercise. Thankfully, you don't need megadoses of this drug to get the benefits. A little bit goes a long way. The American College of Sports Medicine recommends 150 minutes of exercise per week, just 30 minutes 5 days a week. Oh, does that sound familiar? More is better, but this seems to be the sweet spot. Anything from brisk walking to jogging to hightailing it up the stairs counts. The harder you're willing to push yourself, the less time you'll have to commit to enduring it. You can get away with half of the recommended dose of exercise by exercising at high intensity, as with the popular high-intensity interval training, otherwise known as HIIT. Nearly everyone can add more exercise into their life, even people whose bodies have been through a lot. 11 years ago, along with 20 of my patients, I started a full-body workout class called Iron Strength in the basement of the local gym. I had found that the stronger I kept my own muscles, the fewer aches and pains I had in my hips and knees. So why not help my patients get those same results? Today, Iron Strength workouts are a free community program designed to bring fitness to the masses has grown from 20 to 1,000 people, sometimes more. We now hold them in outdoor spaces like Central Park or on the flight deck of the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum in New York City. We've even inspired physicians in other states and countries to start their own physician-led fitness programs. Having the doctor prescribe preventative health makes the message resonate. What started as a way to teach people to strengthen their muscles has turned into a program that attracts exercisers of all ages, sizes, and fitness levels. Exercises regular attendees include people like Cheryl, who ran her first half marathon at age 62, and Ben, who was sidelined with chronic hamstring injury until strength exercises helped him heal. In one class, a 10-year-old, her 42-year-old mother, and her 71-year-old grandmother were all doing the same exercises. The success of these free weekly classes proves that getting in shape doesn't have to be painful or expensive. When we surveyed participants last year, most said they kept coming back to class because doing it as a group made the exercise social and fun. Exercise isn't just good for the body. It's also the power to engage and build community. And tomorrow I'll finish up with this particular article. At the top of the hour, if you scoot over to Facebook, One Team Global Live, one of our leaders will be sharing some information on how to build a new skin business. This is Susan Mann for February 19th, 2024, signing out. If you would like to share your thoughts and comments after I take us off mute, you're welcome to do that. And if you're one of my quiet, shy people and would rather text me, you can definitely do that to 503-502-4863. Just let me know you're part of the TR90 group. I do check my spam folders periodically to make sure nothing's getting put in there by accident, and I would be delighted to help you. So there we have it, why it is important to get up and get that exercise 30 minutes a day, at least 5 days a week. Hope you found that of interest, and we look forward to having you back again tomorrow. And we'll have Frank up, I believe, on Wednesday. If there's no other thoughts or comments, I'm going to let us go. And I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to your comments.